glyphosate. Now, glyphosate is not a name brand. It is the active ingredient on in many weed killers that are sold throughout the United States and the world. There's big brand names. We're not going to name the company's names because there's no need to do such. But glyphosate, what is glyphosate? What's the basis of it yet?
So glyphosate is it's an herbicide. So it's a broad spectrum systemic herbicide. It's a crop desiccant. So what it does is it's known also more technically as an organophosphorus compound. So it has many things in it, but it works by, it acts by inhibiting the plant enzymes, basically. So, and we're going to kind of get into that a little bit more.
Now, we're just going over this to inform people because everybody hears the term glyphosate and it's an evil word. We have people that are all over the country that listen to us. We're in big farm areas in the South Dakota, North Dakota, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma area. And there's probably people in tractors right now listening to us spraying glyphosate on their fields. It's like many things in life. If used correctly, it's a phenomenal tool. When used incorrectly, it can do tremendous damage.
So if you're not familiar, glyphosate does kill off
anything it touches.
Pretty much anything it touches. What it does is a biochemical. So it prevents these plants from creating this enzyme.
It goes, when it's sprayed on the plant, it goes right to the roots, and that's how it is killed. Now, we do not recommend using glyphosate in your edible garden. We would recommend Green Gobbler. It's a certified organic OMRI-listed horticultural grade vinegar. But there is applications for glyphosate here. What is it mainly used for? And that's, you know, a lot of it's used commercially, agriculturally, and privately. There's a lot of different platforms in which it's used in and around and for.
Right. So it is used for altogether to help keep weeds from competing with crops for those crops so they don't have to compete for water, sunlight, and nutrients.
Now,
so whether this be in your backyard or on a large agricultural scale, this is what it does.
Genetically modified crops are altered in a way in a laboratory in which they can sustain being sprayed with chemicals such as glyphosate. It kills everything in the field except for that crop in which the farmer is attempting to grow and harvest and sell or feed to cattle. So that's what the purpose of genetically modification of crops is all about, in which they can utilize chemicals such as this to control everything. However, now in the last, two decades, because the glyphosate, the weeds have adapted to it, they've had to increase the toxicity of chemicals such as glyphosate to combat what is now called super weeds.
Right. So the super weeds are more aggressive weeds. The weeds have adjusted to being killed off by glyphosate through time. So now they are a more aggressive weed.
So how does it work? What's the purpose here? How does the science of the spraying on the leaves and how does that
process? So basically they block this enzyme, which is also known as a protein.
So we're getting into the scientific stuff here. They're putting a chemical to the plant and that particular chemical knows how to prevent the plant from releasing certain things and blocking other things.
Yep. So it stops this enzyme pathway. It's known as the shikimic acid pathway. And it is that pathway, the enzyme, that protein is necessary for plants to grow, basically, and also some microorganisms. A majority of plants use this enzyme, so almost all plants will succumb to glyphosate, except for probably like thistles.
thistles will, yeah. On the farm, we would spray 2,4-D on the thistles because that had a different compound and properties in which it killed the thistles. But it didn't kill the grasses in the pasture, so you didn't have to be as selective of 2,4-D is active in many lawn weed and feeds, so we need to be cautious about that as well. So why do people often disapprove, dislike, have a disagreement with the use of chemicals that contain glyphosate?
Well, it's believed to, a lot of people think it's less toxic to human than other herbicides. However,
it's less toxic?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is, they feel that it disrupts your endocrine activity in people and also other animals, including frogs and fish.
Aquatic life.
So if you don't know, your endocrine system is your, also your metabolic system, and those, that endocrine system releases hormones, all sorts of hormones, whether it be anything from insulin to your hormones, your genetics, things like that. So if you have an endocrinological disorder, it means that your hormones are off balance. Like a thyroid mm-hmm. helps control your hormones, many different things.
And many people believe that the glyphosate greatly alters that makeup or that damages the process.
Yep. So it stems to a lot of things. It can be anything. A lot of medical things. We're not doctors or anything.
Nope.
You can do your own research.
You thought we're going to talk about tomatoes, and now we're diving into big words that I don't even know how to pronounce, and Holly's reading them off like they're, you know, ingredients to bake a cake here.
Yeah, but they are part of your body, right? They're your whole body, even like your sex hormones, your hormones that control your growth, your reproductive system, all of that. That's what glyphosate can have issue or cause issue with. Another issue it can cause is scientists have noted an increase in non-Hodgkin lymphoma, which is a type of cancer, if you don't know. And some people feel that they're exposed to that chemical source, and it's definitely carcinogenic. I can't say that word.
Yeah.
Carcinogenic to humans, which means that essentially it's toxic to humans.
And also, there is bees that has that term, and bees have been brought up that it can kill the hives off as well.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And also now, whenever, you know, people, another claim or another thing that people have an issue with is the genetically modified crops. It's not that the crops are genetically modified. It is they are modified in order to absorb this toxicity, allow the plant to continue to grow, and then the plant has taken this glyphosate and actually made it part of its being. Then you're eating the corn or you're eating the soy or whatever the case is that's genetically modified. That's where some of the arguments and disagreements come from when it comes to anti-GMO and anti-glyphosate spray, you know, chemical products in which one may spray on their property and or their farm. Now, if you do choose to use a product that contains glyphosate, there are some things in which there's instructions in the back for a reason. You only should apply it during certain particular times of the day or the year. Otherwise, it can have even more detrimental effects because though it's maybe bad and some people believe it's bad, if you do not follow the directions, it can be even more, it can even be worse. And you can speak to some of the ways in which you should apply it.
So first of all, you want to apply on a non-windy day, a non-breezy day, because it will drift. So when you apply it, you want to make sure it's not breezy or windy, what have you out. So that's one. Second of all, if it's above about 70 degrees and 60% humidity, then you also don't want to apply because at that point it's going to cling to the water molecules in the air and drift.
And I've told this story on the program before. I grew up on a big agricultural farm in southern Illinois, and during the early spring, you would plant the corn, you plant the beans, and you'd have the sprayers come in, and as long as it wasn't over such amount of wind blowing, it didn't matter how hot it was or how humidity it was, they sprayed, and you could smell that drift of that chemical all through the farm because they only have so much time to get across all the acreages across the counties that they work in. So there's, you know, keep that in mind.
You also want to just make sure that you cover your skin when you're applying glyphosate. So wear like long pants, long sleeves, things like that, so that you're not getting that onto your skin as a possibility.
And sure, why not? Let's wash your hands with soap and water when we're done, too. We're used to that already this year. What's the difference?
Just this year.
Yeah, just this, yeah.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.